This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Joining us now to recap the study on the potential sports complex and what happened at last night's Normal Town Council meeting and what didn't happen is Mayor Chris Koos. Thanks for coming in today.
Good to be here.
The consultant said flat out, this is an investment in the community that will never break even. It will require constant renewal of the facility with some significant dollars if there is a dome. Do you think this is a high enough priority for the community to invest $44 million up front and a big chunk of that again every 20 years?
It's too early for me to say on that, Charlie. There's a lot we have to look at as a community. As two entities, City of Bloomington, Town of Normal, a lot of questions we have to answer in the sense that the one community or both communities saddle the whole burden, that will not happen. That's beyond the capacity of both communities to do that.
Well, you've been consistent about that over the last two sports complex, soccer field complex proposals. One, the Katie Kim proposal, and the one before that, and I'm blanking on the proposed developer's name on that one. Since there is growing competition as these facilities proliferate around the country, how reliable do you think that estimate of 8 to 15 tournaments a year is and the corresponding economic impact? So the reward part for the community part of the equation.
You know, I had a conversation with my Parks and Rec director afterwards, and he thought it was very doable with the right facility.
So he's positive.
He's convinced that the number of tournaments that they were referring to was not inflated by any means.
Okay. $43.6 million split two ways between Bloomington Normals, about $22 million apiece. The final tally would be lower with private partnership dollars included. How much private sector involvement should one expect in a project in Bloomington Normal, and what do you think is a reasonable share of such a project for each of the Twin Cities?
You know, again, we haven't done our due diligence on this, Charlie. It's hard for me to answer that question directly, but I think that the reference that you make, that we do have to look at that in terms of what's prudent for the community in terms of everything else we have to deal with. We have to be cognizant of that, and that's why I have said, and I will say again, that if it's a total public project, it's not going to happen. The capacity is not there, and it robs resources from other things that we need to do.
You are conversant with the Town of Normal's financial capacity. What is that? Obviously, there are lots of worthy projects out there that would add to the community. I've heard tell a library has been mentioned now and again. How much cap is there left for the town at this present time?
Not very much. You know, again, you put me in a position I can't answer a dollar amount directly, but I think the point is well taken that we have to look at what we can do, and that's why I've said consistently that there needs to be a public-private partnership. There needs to be efforts to secure grants, either health grants or sports grants from the state, from the federal government, if we can. It's going to take a basket of investments to make it move forward.
Projections for the community are for only modest growth and fairly flat to falling government revenue. Are either Bloomington or Normal in a position to make such an investment in a way that will be timely for Illinois Fire to find a new home, that is, within 3 years or so?
Well, if you recall last night, consulting group said that the report that they gave had about an 18-month shelf life.
And so the timeline is even shorter.
Yeah, the timeline is short, and the timeline is short for us to make a decision on what we're going to do with that. And I think you know in the Town of Normal that we'll proceed along that path in terms of the decision-making, and we'll pick a direction fairly quickly.
What kind of process do you think Bloomington and Normal should follow to discuss and decide these questions then?
Well, there's got to be dialogue between the two cities, and it's got to include any potential private side investment group or investors as part of the discussion.
Is the Katie Kim Stark proposal still alive?
As far as I can tell, it is, yeah.
So they're presumably one dialogue
Certainly.
Partner.
Certainly.
Are there others out there that you know
yes,
of?
Yes, there are.
Who?
You know I'm not going to tell you, Charlie.
How many?
One so far.
one so far.
And it is a group that's well-known to the community, and it is a group with considerable resources. So and they are intrigued by it. That's how I would characterize their involvement at this point.
So lay out the timeline. If you have to actually decide in the next year and a half, in the next 6 months, what needs to happen? In the next year, what needs to happen?
Well, I think in the next 6 months, the parties that are interested in moving this forward should be able to state that. And the parties that are not interested in moving this forward should be able to state that as well.
How important is it, given the sometimes tense relationship between the city of Bloomington and the town of Normal, to receive guarantees or a memorandum of understanding or an intergovernmental agreement before or during the vote that any facility going ahead would need?
Well, I think, you know, I think both governmental units are interested in pursuing better cooperation, so maybe this will be a vehicle for it.
Should there be a referendum, or should representative government follow its role and have elected council members make these choices?
That's a tough one to answer right now. It just depends on what we go forward with. You know, we could put something out to the general public that upsets them deeply, and they may ask for a referendum on that.
Would the town council or town officials say, you know what, we need to take the temperature on this?
I'm not going to predict the future on that.
Okay. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. With us is Mayor Chris Koos of the Town of Normal. After the presentation of the Sport Complex report, the town council went back to Uptown Station and held its own meeting. One item pulled from the agenda was a request by the developer of Uptown One to downsize the required restaurant to half the square footage as before. Do you know why that was pulled yet?
I do, but in deference to the developer, I can't really say what their reasoning for it was. I think it's more of a timing issue. I think they're still interested in doing that, but they're not interested in doing it just yet.
So it's likely to come back?
I think so.
Does the request mean the project is in trouble?
No. I think it means the scope has changed. Their expectation for a single-use ground floor is not fulfilling, so they're taking a different look at it.
How would they get the amount of revenue needed in the pro formas provided to the town under the development agreement if they have half a restaurant size?
Well, the square footage is the square footage. So whether it's two units or one unit, if they fill it as two units, they'll be fine.
What are they going to put in the other unit?
There's a couple of things that they've looked at, but I can't.
Speaking generally, is it retail? Is it also food service?
I can't speak to it.
Okay. What do you want the town to have from the developer in exchange for potential approval of the request?
Well, we had asked, and part of the agreement is that we get a restaurant that will serve the uptown and fit into the mix of uptown, you know. And I'm pretty concerned about that in terms of what's developing at Trailside East. The office project across Uptown Circle from them could have up to 250 office workers there. And that will put some pressure on the restaurant market in Uptown Normal.
So maybe they're underselling their capacity for square footage and a restaurant support of that square footage.
That could be. Mm-hmm.
A considerable period after opening, the building is not fully tenanted in apartments or in commercial space, and the town has taken up some of that space. Mm-hmm. It's been more than 2 years since the developer said it had hopes of announcing a restaurant tenant soon. Do those facts present any warning signs both for Uptown One and for Trail East?
Well, the absorption rate of the apartments is slower than they had predicted, but it's definitely moving in a positive direction. They've had three or four rentals in the last 2 weeks that I'm aware of, new ones. I think the ground floor is more concerning to them. And you know, we could spend an hour talking about restaurant markets in the United States and what works and what doesn't work and what the trends are. But these are some of the issues that they're dealing with.
Are they in danger, in the lack of a restaurant, of defaulting in the development agreement?
Oh, you know, legally, yes. But we consider them a viable partner in Uptown, and we're going to work with them, you know, so that we get what we want and they get what they want.
How much are they losing out by not getting tax refunds from food and beverage taxes by not having that restaurant up and operating?
You know, it's not an insignificant amount of money, but it's not something that's a death knell for the project.
Is the town willing to restart the clock on that rebate period if they change the terms of the agreement?
The town's philosophy has always been, we're going to work with our partners, and if something's not working, we'll sit down and talk about it. We're not going to be intractable on this.
The town also received a report last night about the end-of-year budget adjustments. $1.8 million in reserves were drawn down in the last year. The town went through a budget-cutting exercise, but pension costs and pressure of state government rake-offs of local revenue continues to loom. What is your outlook going forward on the financial picture?
Well, I think, you know, as far as the picture that we have been able to paint in our five-year budget process was that these are issues that we're going to have to deal with. If you recall, Andrew Hune last night said we did have a deficit, but it's not as large as was projected. So there's some good news in the bad news with that. Our financial staff and department there is very, very good about conservatively looking at our outlook financially. And I'm confident in the information that they give us. I don't think we're going to be surprised.
You recently announced on Facebook that you were leaving Facebook and limiting social media. Why?
The environment has gotten so toxic, and that's in a broad sense. It's somewhat reflective of the mood of the country, where it's very divisive right now. But the more I have looked at it, to me, it's like reading the National Enquirer. The information is not very reliable. It is very, very skewed to an opinion. And I just got tired of that.
So what are you doing? How far are you cutting the cord?
Pardon?
Is it a permanent decision?
Oh, you know, it was when I did it, but I've calmed down a little bit, and I'm just going to take a break.
Can a public official in this day and age not engage? Isn't that part of your public duty?
It is, but not necessarily with that vehicle.
Well, we'll substitute for it. A lot of the discourse does happen on social media platforms.
I will probably try to get more active on Twitter, which I don't use right now. But you're right. I do need to talk to the public. And, you know, I'm willing to face-to-face converse with just about anybody. So it's not that I'm going to be quiet. But I don't need the bully pulpit of Facebook.
Your initial comment that presumably led to pushback was that you cannot stay silent any longer about the president's conduct. What led you to that post, and what are you thinking about the nature of public discourse?
I think the behaviors, the integrity, and lack of veracity of our current president troubles me quite a bit. Most recent activities in Helsinki have pushed me more in that direction. I'm very fearful where that president will take this country or try to take this country, and I will speak out about that.
You are a Republican. Is he?
No, he is not, by the definition of Republicanism that I know.
After the events in Helsinki, though, does silence on any platform signify consent?
No, it doesn't.
If you're not there, though, you're not countering it.
So the question is, do I need to be everywhere?
Well, that is the question. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I don't think so.
Okay. The mayors of Bloomington Normal join us most Tuesdays after regular and special council meetings. Mayor Chris Koos of the town of Normal, thank you so much for your time today.
Always enjoy the conversation.